Hi, Unpackers. Want to thank you to coming back to another episode. And remember, whatever you hear, Tay and I are simply providing a perspective. Neither of us are professionals. We expect for you to, you know, reach out to certified professionals if you need the help. And this is simply our perspective. If you hear an interaction that reminds you of yourself, then just know it comes from grace. And if you would like to come on and unpack it with us, you have an open invitation. You can find our pages on unpacking.your.ish on most social media. And if you'd like to support our work, you can do that through paypal.me/unpacking.your.ish. Again, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and let's unpack.
Hi, Unpackers. Here we are at our final episode of the year.
Yes, 2022. We are days away from 2023, you know. We are both a year older, yeah. 42 and yeah. fabulous.
42 and fabulous.
Uh-huh. Cheers to that.
Cheers. Yes, those are real glasses. Yeah. And yes, they're full. it's been a year. It's crazy because I still remember what I did New Year's Eve on 2021. Fast these years.
I've never been a big New Year's person. I think the only New Year's that I remember is 2008, I was in Barcelona.
Oh,
so
I bet that was beautiful.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I love New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. Going into New Year's is one of my favorite holidays.
Okay.
Yeah, you get Sounds to renew. Good. I love renew.
Yes, I know. New you, new you. New year, new you.
That's
yeah. New you, new you. Yes, I've only had part of a glass, so I should be able to still speak English.
We'll work
yes.
on that.
Okay. So our final episode, our bonus episode today, we wanted to talk about, you know, it's the end of the year, it's cupping season, you're getting all lonely. You might be thinking about sending those texts to those past lovers.
Yeah, seeing what the deal is. You they still feel the same way.
Exactly. So we wanted to just talk about is that a good idea, et cetera? Our experiences with it, because I'm sure we both have had experiences.
Yeah, let's come up the whole episode. No. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But let's talk about why.
Yeah. Or, you know, what are some things that you should ask yourself? Because, again, life is different. Where you are is... You know, you need to figure out what works best for you.
Yes.
And I think sometimes what really prompted this episode from my perspective is we have these hard cultural rules about this. A lot of times an ex or a fly is a fly, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they're past, you know, we're making fly happen here. Former love interests, you know.
They're a fly.
Yes.
For a reason.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but does that really serve you? And serve your journey for companionship and love. So I think that this is something that you should ask yourself, you know, questions and really analyze.
Yeah.
Is this working?
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that sometimes it's almost necessary to go through the pain to give yourself the closure of not wanting to contact that ex or that fly again. And the reality of letting them go. You know, that's what happened for me.
Okay. Yeah, so let's talk about your experiences.
Yeah, I'll share Unpackers. You guys are like my best friends. So I sent a text.
Okay.
I'll admit, I opened the communication.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was reciprocated immediately. Valid question.
Yeah.
Why are you, you know, where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just kind of... the small talk, and then eventually, of course, it went to the same place that it always goes to, where it's like, so what you doing? Where you at? You know? And I was kind of game at first. But then the more I I thought about it, I said, no, I don't want to go down that road. I think I was looking for, to be very honest with you all, I was just looking for some validation. Mm. Maybe I wanted to feel wanted. Maybe I wanted to know somebody was out there still thinking about me. I don't know, but I wanted some type of validation. And I got that by him responding and being completely interested.
Yeah.
So once I got that, I kind of was like, okay, I don't want to talk anymore. But the conversation went really left. But it went left enough for me to realize this is not something I want to do anymore.
Yeah.
And it's time to let it go.
Yeah, and I think that that kind of gets to like something that you should ask yourself before you re-engage. Because what you were sharing is you're having these feelings.
Yeah.
And then the feelings prompted you to go back to something familiar. Mm-hmm. You know, whether we're feeling validation, et cetera. And I think when, you know, we consider re-engaging yeah. with someone from our past that we have loved and cared about, like asking yourself, like, where are you now?
Yeah.
Like, do you, have you allowed, are you really having a clear picture of this relationship, the good and the bad? Because if you have that distorted reality,
yes,
like it's not gonna work.
That's very true. The reality for me, when I'm looking, when mm-hmm. I know what I'm looking for, I definitely allow the distortion to happen. I definitely mm-hmm. remind myself, oh, like we had such good times, we did this, we did that, and I see all the good pictures. But then once we're in the communication, it starts to go left, the bad pictures start to flash. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Like consider the whole picture, step back, see the forest, don't just look at the tree and pay attention
yeah.
because that sometimes will save you a little bit of heartache. Because honestly, like I still carry some feelings for this person. And so every once in a while, yeah.
Well, and I think
I still get that whole little, feels the same.
Yeah.
Stupid mess.
Well, and you know, again, that is normal. And I think, you know, when we talk about past relationships, honestly, it's from my perspective, it's from an unrealistic expectation about feelings.
Yeah.
And about grief, honestly. You relationships, especially ones that lasted, that was 6 years, I think
yeah.
you said?
Well, about, yeah, almost
six years. Yeah. For me, I had an 8-year interaction with someone. That, I'm 42, like, you know, basically a fifth of my life of caring about and loving a person. Like, that's not something you just throw away unless you're a sociopath.
Right.
Like, it takes craziness, like, to be like, oh, I'm never going to think about that person again. Like, no, that's unhealthy.
That's
you know? What really it is with relationships is learning how to move forward with that grief.
Yeah.
It's learning how to see that past relationship in its context of how you've grown. You know, for me, my longest relationship, it's the one that I probably come back to most often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's someone that I wanted to marry. You know, I bought a ring and I saw myself, this is someone that I could have committed to spending the rest of my life
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
And so there is zero way, you know, there's zero part of me that can just like put that in a box because it helped form who I am.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and so I think what, you know, part of this episode for me is, yes, definitely the time of the year. And, you know, recently I'm on a date with another person and they asked me, they said, you know, if your former, your fly asked you, they use X, you know, again, I'm trying to make it happen. Well, he calls it, well, he's Spanish. He says muertitos. So the dead ones.
The dead ones.
Yes, he calls them muertitos.
I love it.
Yes.
I'm gonna say that.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So y'all can have that. So, but for me, he asked me, he said, you know, if he asked you to get back together, would you consider it? And I said yes. And this is the reason why I said yes. Is because for me, all relationships are work.
Yeah.
And so right now I'm single. I am genuinely looking for love. And so why would I bias this particular person over anyone else? And I think that this gets back to another question I think that's really important is, are you, because my answer to them was, it would take emotional work to make that happen. And so would I be willing to put forth the emotional work necessary to be in a relationship with them? And I, again, I would say yes about thinking about it. I don't know if I'm there, honestly.
I hear that.
Because again, it is so much pain. There's so much, and I said this, that, you know, if they did come back and say, hey, we want to, I would say we need to go to counseling.
Yeah.
Because obviously the way we communicated and interacted with each other previously didn't work.
Yeah.
So we would need some different skills. And I think that gets to, you know, the third question that I think is important is, how are you allowing yourself to be different? That, hey, I've changed and I've grown.
I'm doing it differently.
And for this person.
Right.
Yes, there are some things that are going to be familiar. You know, maybe some old habits and things that you dislike. But there's new things as well. And so you have to be willing to, you know, go with curiosity instead of this fixed point of, oh, they are locked here and they've unchanged.
I agree with that. The growth is so important because, of course, when you're with the person, you're like, I wish they would do this. I wish they would do that. I wish they would do this. And, of course, those things that areas that could grow in.
Yeah.
But then let's say, like for my example, they go away and the growth happens in those areas with someone else.
Yeah.
Like I would have to question myself if for some reason said relationship broke up and we decided to revisit, I would really have to ask myself, are you okay with the idea that, yes, those things that you wanted to grow happened, but they didn't happen with you.
Mm-hmm.
They happened with someone else. Someone else motivated that change, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, and he would have to ask himself the same questions. Is he okay with the way that I've grown?
Yeah.
Nobody motivated mine. I did it by myself. But I've grown. I'm different. Mm-hmm. There's a patience. There's a peace about me now. Mm-hmm. There are some things that I've just grown up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'd have to.
Still got a big head though.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did it on my own.
Go ahead. I know, it's like that. What do they call it? What's the independence that they say now? Some women that are too independent, what's it called?
I don't know.
It's not toxic independence. It's something like that, though. Kind of reminds me of them describing toxic masculinity, but I digress. Yeah, they kind of make over-independence a problem.
Yeah, it can be. Well, it definitely can be. And I think, again, that can be another episode.
That's a whole other topic, right? Because I really want to hear what other women have to say about that. Because a lot of times, you know, we've always been pushed to be independent. But now it's starting to kind of stop some other areas in our lives.
Well,
we're slowing down.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we definitely, you know, intersectionality here.
Yeah.
You know, Black and woman, Black and gay over here.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we have some traumas and some internalized things that we're taught about who we should be in the world instead of, you know, figuring out who we really want to be, the individualization. So I think, because we were actually talking about this earlier, we're going to make this just a quick bit and then get back. But when it comes down to the lessons of our parents, especially the women in our life, you know, about how you work. And I think that so many Black people, and I think many immigrants may have this, but people that have been under the ladder, you know, is that basically you're dehumanized to your only work. You're only worth by what you're able to do. And so your only worth is by like your job and working and thing and working. You had to work yourself to death.
Right.
And so I think that this is very important or related to relationships, because we have these messages about that are kind of set in stone.
Yeah.
You know, like it can only be this way, or it can only be this, or only can be that. And, you know, if you want a relationship to last 30, 40, for your lifetime, like, it is going to be struggle.
Yeah,
it's going
to be,
it's going to be work.
Some and boxes and, are going to have to be broken and opened. And, oh, man. Yeah. That's, wow. But, back to our subject matter. I think that's a great topic.
Yeah.
We may just go look into that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. I really want to talk about that. I almost want to compare toxic masculinity to, I forget the term, but women that are overly independent.
Okay.
Because I feel like it almost wants to look like the same thing, which kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but anyway, most of us are independent out of necessity. But as far as, you know, trying to talk to or establish any type of connection with an ex, I think that in a way, some of that might have to do with what we can control too, our locus of control.
Yeah.
Because you're expecting the person to be familiar, like you said. You're expecting the same things. And sometimes we just reach out because we know we can. And you know you're going to get a response.
Yeah.
And you can almost picture how the conversation is going to go because you feel like you know that person.
Well, and I think that comes back to, are you searching for validation?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, are you going back to, do you have a clear picture of reality?
Right.
You know, and a lot of times, or have you changed enough? Because really, sometimes what you're going back to an older version of yourself.
Right.
You know, leaving, you talk about leaving a relationship, that's grief. Leaving yourself. You know, leaving the person that you were behind. I think the hardest thing for me, where I am right now, I think sometimes when I think about that relationship, again, 8 years,
mm-hmm.
I gave you a ring and, and saw myself marrying you. The most difficult piece in the resentment that I have often isn't about him. Yeah. It's about me. It's about the fact that I was in that relationship for 8 years with someone who I ultimately decided was unable to give me the love and consideration that I needed and wanted. Like, I'm angry at me.
Right.
I'm angry that I stayed. I'm angry that I chose that person. And then I'm projecting that onto him. It's like, no. It's like, I've got to be okay that was a lesson that I needed.
Absolutely.
I needed that, because here's the thing, the hard part is the person that I am right now, being confident and proud, gay, black man, is because of him. Like, I mean, because, you know, and then, so it's like, there's no way that would be the person that I am if I didn't have that relationship.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for it. But at the same time, it's like, I got to a point, because I know you love me. You know, you love me enough to recognize that you are unable to love me to the next level.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the catch-22. It's like, I'm mad at myself, but I'm also grateful.
Yeah.
Because I needed that.
Yeah. You're so much more mature than I am. But I get that, because I did learn a lot in that relationship about myself, about, you know, how people take me, about the world around me. I learned a lot in that relationship, and I cannot be mad at that. And I learned stuff specifically from him that I was like, wow, I didn't even know I could, like, say no to my mom. I don't want to do something. Like, I learned how to stand up for myself and how to say, no, that is not going to work for me.
Yeah.
Catch 22 about it all. Once I started to be able to say no about things I didn't want, I was able to say no to him.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it started to be like, oh, well, wait a minute, she's changed.
Exactly.
You influenced this change.
Yeah. So you helped me grow. Like,
yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, and, like, you know, unfortunately, the thing that we love about somebody usually, like I said earlier, becomes a demise later. But yeah, like I learned to say no, and I learned to understand that I have my own truth,
yeah,
and I can stand on it. Yeah. You know, like, no, you're not going to sway me from what I this is what I said.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, so I learned a lot. So I do appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate him for being who he was in some aspects.
Yeah.
Because it helped me to influence, you know.
No, okay. So again, have you, I would say, have you ever, for me, I'm trying to think if I've ever seriously, like, gotten back together with someone I date. Okay. I haven't done that. The closest, like I said, that 8-year relationship would probably be the closest. I have definitely hooked up.
Okay.
And still in communication with some people, but I've never been at the point of like, oh, well, let's give this a second try.
Well, did y'all have that, like, not breakup? I don't want to call it a breakup makeup relationship, but like sometimes you would be like, well, I'm done with this for a day or so.
No,
y'all didn't have
what we did honestly was, okay, so we broke up and we still remain close.
Okay.
And we're friends, and you know, he was dating other people, I was dating other people, we were cordial, we checked on each other. And if we, like, you know, because I moved to Houston,
mm-hmm,
and so he came out to visit me, and we had sex, and,
yeah,
you know, and then when I came back home, we had sex, you know. But at the same time, you know, he was doing stuff, and
yeah.
I think, again, when I finally moved back, and again, he had a death, his mom passed away, mm-hmm, and so for me, that was just, it's like, well, what am I doing? It just kind of changed my perspective.
Yeah.
And so I, at that point for me, I knew it was grieving, but it was like, I need more.
Yeah.
You know, I want more for you. I want to be the, you know, what crystallized it for me was seeing him break down at his mother's funeral.
Yeah.
And I was watching from the side instead of being the person beside him,
yeah,
like helping. Like, that was like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. I want to be there. I want to be able to support you through this kind of stuff. And so, you know, I did ask. Like, I asked. I said, like, you know, hey, let's, you know, let's consider this. You know, also, I gave so much power,
yeah,
to him. And I said, well, here are your options.
Yeah.
And then I finally realized, I was like, I get to have a choice in this too.
Yes, yes.
And part of, you're not giving me what I need.
Yeah.
After 8 years of literally showing up for you in ways that other people have not.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to ask you,
right,
what you want. I need to ask myself what I want and need. And I think, again, going into that growth is like, I've grown.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I want this.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not seeing our relationship in a real way, but in an accurate way, because it's distorted. So I think now, like I said, we are maybe like 4 years removed from that.
Okay.
So I have a clearer picture of what went wrong from my side.
Yeah.
I don't know his side. And,
right,
you know, he would have to share his perspective on things. But I would say this, that if he came to me and said, hey, you know, I want to talk to you, that in and of itself would be big growth.
Yeah.
Because this Negro has blocked me and not talked to me. He's been butthurt for like 4 years. I know.
Hi.
I know. So that would be growth. That would be change, because that would,
yeah,
be different.
Yeah.
You know.
For me, yeah, I've gotten back with both. I only have two series with, like, my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
We broke up for a period of time during our marriage and separated, living in different houses and everything, and ended up getting back together. It was over a year of separation.
Okay.
And I didn't mess with anybody during that time, but of course, you know, he did,
mm-hmm,
which it wasn't a problem. We weren't together.
Yeah.
But decided to get back together and got another kid out of it.
What prompted the prompted the decision for you to get back together since you actually did do it?
I had always wanted a family. So to me, the family aspect was always the guiding force.
Okay.
So when we, well, during this time that we were separated, we were still absolutely talking to each other, dealing with each other. You know, we were still having sex, yeah. All of that.
Yeah.
I got pregnant and told him. And he was just kind of like, okay, well, that doesn't change anything. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I'm keeping the kid because, I, you know, it's my second kid and same dad. I'm keeping the kid.
Yeah.
So that was the decision, whatever. And he went to an ultrasound appointment with me. And I was going out of town for business. And by the time I got off the plane, he called me. And he was like, yeah, I want to get back with you. Like, I don't want anybody else to raise my son. I don't want anybody else with you. Like, this is it. We're going to do this. And I was all into it because, like I said, family was always my driving force. Mm-hmm. So we got back together and we only lasted like 2 more years. So it was almost like probably should have let's.
And it gets back to what we were talking about. Do you, when you think about those three questions of, you know, did you have a clear picture of, you know, the relationship?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Did you allow for growth for you and yourself, for him and you?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I actually appreciated the growth that happened for both of us.
Okay.
It was just that we grew even further apart.
Okay. And then were you willing to do the emotional work? So you were willing to do the emotional work.
Sure.
So in a, so then let's talk about these three questions, you know, in general. I think that they're good things to consider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you think that you need to answer all three of them as yes or one or what? Okay.
I think that you can do like maybe 2 out of 3 or even 1 out of 3 if you get the big one, you know, one that weighs more to you is more important. Like if you are always looking for this person to grow.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, and they get away from you and they grow. Are you, how do you feel about that?
Huh.
Does that bother you? You know, like you really, if that's your big question, if it's a no, then that might answer everything for you. You know, because I actually did the same thing with my most recent ex, one I'm talking about. We broke up for about 3-4 months. And then he came back. Like I was completely letting him go. I learned.
Mm-hmm.
From my first situation.
Yeah.
And so I let him go. I didn't call him. I didn't bother him. I left him alone. He came back to me and started hanging out a little bit. And then next thing I know, we're back in a full-blown relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't even tell you the progression to that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just as simple as him coming back around. So I didn't even take the time to consider anything.
Yeah.
Before I jumped right back into it. So, yeah, like, I think that you don't have to answer them all yet. I feel like if one is really important to you and that's the no, go with it.
Yeah.
Because you have to trust yourself.
Yeah.
And that's something that I have learned recently is that I have to trust myself.
Yeah.
I have to believe myself when I know, like you said, are you looking at this distorted camera of how you see things? Like you really have to trust that you know what you know about yourself, about the situation, why you walked away. Why you decided to stay, whatever the situation may be, you have to trust yourself.
Yeah. And I think that last piece, because doing the emotional work, you know, being willing to do the emotional work is also being okay if it doesn't work. Like, you've got to be okay if you try and it doesn't work.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, again, if we're going in with these rose-colored glasses, oh, it's going to be great, it's new. He's like, nah, you set yourself up for failure because you're not being real. So if you, again, if you've asked yourself, you're like, okay, I'm really looking at this picture, you know, accurately. I see this was BS and this was good and this was, you know, like I can have a good, you know, at least non-distorted vision of the past. If I can say, okay, they've changed here, I've changed here, I'm willing to go in with an open mind.
Yeah.
And then you've got to be okay if I go all in, try it, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. Like, it doesn't have to be that you failed necessarily.
Yeah.
You tried and just didn't
It's
work
learning.
Out.
It's okay. Like, see relationships as learning at
that
the end of the
they
day.
Are.
They're
they
lessons.
Are. They
and
are.
And again, giving another, because here's the thing, ultimately about, from my perspective, going back to a former love interest, you know, if you are in a relationship with someone for 30 years, do you not think you're going to repair it? You're going to come back together. You're going to, like, you need those skills. So work on it with that relationship, with that partner, and it may not work.
Yeah.
But for the partner that you want,
right?
Like, you are becoming that person that
right.
you need to be.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Okay, so I think that's the end. We need to recap our three things. Like,
yes.
Make sure your question is, one, are you seeing the future? Are you
right.
seeing the relationship?
Are you looking at it realistically?
Two, are you allowing for growth for
yeah.
you and them?
Yeah.
And then three, are you willing to do the emotional work?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's it. Again. Talk to you later.
And Happy New Year, because that's what we'll